Well, on January 28th, our president will be addressing the nation and delivering his State of the Union address. It'll be a time for him to look back and point out some of the accomplishments of what took place. And I'll just stop at that. We'll just go past that, of 2013. And it'll be a time for him to set the vision for 2014. In like manner, and thankfully with much more positive news, I want us to take a moment of pause this morning and deliver perhaps my own State of the Union or State of the Church address. So today's going to be one of those very rare, perhaps, if I can recall, maybe the only times where you're not going to need your Bible this morning. I'm not going to be teaching or preaching this morning, but I want us to take a moment of pause and celebrate what God has done in 2013. You know, too many times, as I mentioned in the past, sometimes we move forward so quickly we forget to consider what God has done. And you know what? When we're able to look back and appreciate what God has done, oftentimes that gives us the confidence and the assurance of knowing that as we go into uncharted waters, right, we don't know what 2014 holds, but we know who holds it. And as we look back at 2013, we can see that God has been faithful. And as if he has been faithful in 2013, we can trust and move forward confidently that he will be faithful in 2014. And so 2013, let me tell you, 2013 was a great year for our church. It was a wonderful year for our church. It was a great time of growth and excitement and anticipation. And maybe just to kind of bring you back and to reflect on 2013, maybe you want to consider this clip. As we bring the eighth year of ministry for our church to a close, I'm thankful to God to be able to say that this has been our strongest year of ministry that we have had as a fellowship. I'm thankful to report that in 2013, Integrity Christian Fellowship has grown in every area of the church, and to God alone, we give all the glory and the praise for that. We have seen over 35 baptisms in 2013. We have seen more people come to Christ and first time of coming to Christ more times in 2013 than we have in every other year of our church. We have seen more people recommit their lives to the Lord. We have seen more baby dedications. We have seen more marriage vows established and renewed. We have seen marriages just restored and God doing tremendous, tremendous things in 2013. And we have just seen God's graciousness on display. And obviously, we give God all the praise for that. Obviously, we know God is the one who is the giving end of that. But I find it interesting that on the year that we have had the greatest commitment to prayer and fasting is the same year that we have seen the greatest display of God's hand of blessing on this church. We have prayed and fasted more in 2013 in a strategic way than we probably have in every other year combined. And we have seen the fruit of that as God has put on display his hand of blessing. And we've seen our men coming together on Monday mornings for prayer. Our Tuesday morning study ladies have gotten together with a more heightened focus of prayer. On Thursdays, our ladies meet every other Thursday in the sanctuary for prayer. The last Tuesday of every month, we have dedicated to a day of prayer and fasting. And then spontaneous prayer meetings that we've been having. And everything we've been doing, we've been incorporating more prayer into our time together. And ironically, certainly not coincidentally, we see God's response to our prayer as we have seen his hand of blessing clearly on display. Now, let me say this. Prayer does not change God. Amen. Amen. Prayer does not change God. It changes us. And it aligns us so that we're in God's will. And see, here's the deal. God wants to bless you. God wants to encourage you. God wants to answer your prayer. God wants to meet you where you're at. God wants to bless you. But oftentimes what hinders that from happening is our disobedience. And so when we come to the Lord in prayer, what we are doing is we are emptying ourselves of ourselves and we are acknowledging our dependence upon God. And as we are pouring ourselves out to God in prayer, God shows us what needs to change on the inside. And as we give, we submit to the Holy Spirit and we give that which God is putting his finger on, it sets us up and positions us for a blessing, which is God's will in your life. Now listen, just because you think it's something you need doesn't necessarily mean it's what God's going to do, right? How many are thankful God's not always giving you what you asked for, right? But what prayer does is it positions me to hear what God wants for me. Amen? And that's what we've been able to do this past year in a more heightened way. It's going before the Lord in every area of ministry, and we've seen the Lord graciously provide for us. And so prayer is not strong-arming God. Prayer is yielding to God and relinquishing our control, relinquishing our rights, and puts me in the position where I acknowledge he is creator, I am creation, he is the potter, I am the clay. I let go of what I am looking for and I surrender to your best. And we have seen God do some wonderful, wonderful things. We have seen our attendance in the church has gone bigger than it has ever gone before. We've been able to introduce a second service, which has enabled us to continue to grow. And that just doesn't happen. But you know, I thank God for our worship team who steps up and every week comes to both services and is willing to honor the Lord with their gifts and lead us in times of worship. I'm thankful for the ushers. I'm thankful for the greeters. I'm thankful for Jen Hutzel, who prepares the bagels every Sunday. How many are thankful for Jen Hutzel? Right? I mean, it's a team coming together, but we have seen God blessing our obedience and our response. And so as we have provided a way, God has brought in new folks, and many of which had never been in church before, many of which never knew the Lord before. And so it's been exciting to see God grow the church. We've been seeing more people attending midweek studies and midweek prayer meetings and than we've ever seen before. It's hard to rally a crowd to go to a prayer meeting. But I've been encouraged by your response. I've been encouraged by your passion and your desire to honor God in your prayer. I'm looking forward to seeing all of our men come out January 16th for a time of prayer and fasting and going before the Lord together. We've been able to see God growing our men's ministry and defining that and taking it to another whole level and where we've been able to challenge the guys and our ladies' ministry. Going off the charts and just allowing us again to just really being able to meet the needs of our ladies and minister the love of Christ to these people. 2013 has been a landmark year for us as a church, as we've seen not smoke and mirrors, but real ministry going forth, real lives changed, real testimonies have come out of this. And it's been exciting, and we give God all the praise and the glory for that. I've been thankful to see our youth ministry take off like a rocket this year. We started our youth retreat this time last year. We were on youth retreat. Those kids came back fired up and ready to go, and that just catapulted us into 2013. They're on their retreat coming home today. Let's pray for traveling mercies for them as they head on back. But they've had a great week of encountering God and been thankful. Pastor Vinny's really taken the lead there, and he's got some strong leaders, and it's been a great display of God's blessing on our young people. I'm thankful to see what God's doing in the midst of our teenagers. We've got kids that are they're witnessing in school. They're standing up for what is right and holy it's tough being a teenager today. But we've got some kids that are comfortable in their own skin and standing up for Jesus. And man, it's been exciting to see that continue throughout the year. We've seen our kids' own ministry continue to grow and blossom and meet the needs of our younger ones. And you know what? We're not just giving them fluff videos on Sunday mornings. They're going through every book of the Bible on Sunday morning. We're teaching our kids the Word of God, and they're able to be equipped to live out a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And man, it takes many, many people, many teachers, much administration to make these things happen. And we've seen God responding to your faithfulness in ways that we can never produce on our own. We've seen God's hand of blessing, certainly on our finances as well. I thank God that you've never required me or needed me to be a pastor who has to constantly talk about money. in a year where there's such financial instability in our culture. We have exceeded over $40,000 over our budget this year. That's an incredible, without needing to strong arm, manipulate, twist, prod, or anything. We've allowed to go, been able to just go forward preaching the gospel, and God has provided. And I give God praise for that, but I want to recognize you as well. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your maturity and your acknowledging that God owns it all. And man, we're a part of something good here. And so with that extra money, we've been able to invest that into different areas of the ministry and you know, allowed us to catch up on all of our bills and pay our intern and update our facility and be generous to those who have been in need and create different events that have been really great ministry opportunities. And so it's been a wonderful, wonderful display of God's faithfulness. And I hope and pray that what's coming across is not that I'm bragging on ICF, but I'm bragging on God this morning. I'm bragging on what God is doing, because what you see taking place is healthy. What you see taking place needs to continue, because you've heard me say it many, many times, it's too easy to go to hell on Long Island, isn't it? It's too easy to go to hell on Long Island. And I believe that the church needs to rise up in this time and take serious the mission that Christ has called us to go out and make disciples. And as we're fellowshipping and as we're ministering and as we're growing, we're gathering those who don't know him. We're reaching out to our families. We're reaching out to our friends. We're reaching out to those every Tuesday morning. Thousands of people have given food this past year through our food pantry ministry here. Countless people have been given, you know, needs have been able to be met. And we've seen God's hand of provision all over this place, and we're so thankful for that. And it's why I want to take a moment of pause and consider what God has done in 2013, because as we stand at the beginning of 2014, there's times we need to draw off his past faithfulness to trust on his future faithfulness. Amen. Too many times we go into something, we know we don't know what 2014 holds, but we know who holds 2014. And as we move into 2014, we want to be able to look back and say, you know what, God, not everything went the way we thought it was in 2013. Is that a fair assessment? Did everything go the way you expected it to go? But we're still here today. God is still on his throne, and he has kept us. And so we can trust on God from God's past faithfulness as we look forward to 2014. And we do that with tremendous excitement and tremendous confidence in knowing that God has been faithful and will continue to be faithful. And so my hope and my dream and my vision for 2014 is more of the same. More of the same. More new births in the church. More outreach in the church. More baptisms in the church. More leaders being raised up in the church. More kids getting fired up about their faith in the church. More opportunities to feed those who don't have out of the church. More opportunities to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who have never heard it in the church. We're looking to be the church in the truest sense of the word in a more heightened way, a more intentional way, and in a more effective way. Our vision has not changed from the day we started the church, and it will not change. For those of you who are new to Integrity Christian Fellowship, our vision statement is reaching up. Say it with me if you know it. Reaching out and reaching in. Reaching up, reaching out, and reaching in. Reaching up in dynamic and passionate worship to God. Reaching out to the unchurched with the message of hope that is found in Jesus Christ alone. And reaching in through intentional discipleship and the study of God's word. Now, every church worth its weight in salt has the same mission. The mission has been given by Jesus, and it's what? Go into all the world and make disciples. That's what every church is called to do. We're not called to have big buildings. We're not called to look a certain way, act a certain way, be a certain way. What we are ultimately called as a church of Jesus Christ is to go into the world and make disciples. Now, every church is going to do that mission statement in different ways, and the way in which they do that is usually articulated through their vision statement. And our vision statement of reaching up, reaching out, and reaching in. I want to kind of expand a little bit on that this morning and talk about that for a moment, because you see, worship is more than what just takes place here on a Sunday morning as we sing during before I get up and preach. And I'm thankful for our worship team. How many are thankful for our worship team? I can't say enough. I appreciate their commitment. I appreciate their anointing. I appreciate that what goes on up here is an overflow of what I know goes on in their lives every day. That's why it's been able to be so effective, right? They're not just entertaining or performing up here. They're ministering, and I'm thankful for that. But that's not necessarily worship. That falls under the umbrella of worship. But here's the deal. Worship is all of life. Worship is to be expressed more on the outside of the church than it is on the inside of the church. Worship is when we surrender our will, when we surrender our agenda, we surrender our very lives to the Lord, and we give it back to Him as an act of worship. That's what we're called to do. And we do that through prayer. We do that through singing. We do that through personal sacrifice. We do that through personal holiness. We do that by being men and women of God, men and women with integrity. Godly men and women who can be held to their word. Godly men and women who will inconvenience themselves for those who are in need. That's ultimately what worship is. It is literally giving of ourselves out of our love for God. And we want to be reaching up in dynamic and passionate worship. I love being around people who are passionate. They're not wishy-washy. Nothing worse than hanging around with somebody who's just wishy-washy, kind of like vanilla. Just like, get out. I got no time for you. I love being around. Even if I'm not in agreement with what they're doing, I love being around people who are passionate. And man, I can't think of another thing to be more passionate about than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Than seeing lives changed and lives transformed. Because I've been on the receiving end of that. I've experienced what it is to have been changed by Him. And so we want to be reaching up in dynamic and passionate worship to God. Secondly, we seek to be a church that is reaching out to the unchurched with a message of hope that is found in Jesus Christ alone. Reaching out is how we express our understanding that we are people on mission. And in the end of the day, we need to see everything we do, everywhere we go, everything we involve ourselves in, everything needs to be filtered through the lens of the fact that we are people on mission. We are called by Jesus to go and make disciples. And whether that's on your job or in your community or in your home or all of those places combined, everything we do, if we would allow ourselves to realize that we are people on mission, you are saved with a purpose. We are to enjoy this life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you have it all abundantly. But in the midst of our abundant life, we need to realize that our abundance of life will be experienced to the degree that we are doing what God has called us to do. And God has called us to reach out to the unchurched. Reach out to those who don't know Him. Catch a passion and catch a burden for those who are on their way to hell. An eternity lost without Jesus. Something you and I have been recipients of freely. We desire to be a church that's reaching out to the unchurched. We care not to do it in ways that I see so many churches across America doing. So many trying to create messages that are much more palatable, unoffensive, tolerant. Taking out essential elements of the gospel like sin and hell and removing their crosses. I want you to know that we will not minimalize, marginalize, compromise, or dilute the gospel one bit in this church. Amen. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. There is nothing we can do. There is nothing we can produce. There is no show. There is no display. There is no token gift as they walk out the door that's going to change a life. Only Jesus. He is the only trick up our sleeve. And when we understand that, we understand the power of the gospel, and we are committed to the power of the gospel, we will see lives changed and transformed by Jesus Christ. That is the vision of this church, to reach out to the unchurched with a message of hope that's found in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And then lastly, we're reaching in through intentional discipleship and the study of God's word. It's been encouraging to see so many with such hunger to grow. Such a desire to know more of the word, not for knowledge's sake, but for sake of their love for the Savior. We desire to be a church that's reaching in through intentional discipleship and the study of God's word. They say that a picture is worth a thousand words. And so I want to introduce you to something that kind of came to me one day, thinking about 2014 and wanting to move forward. And I'd love to tell you that I was in prayer after a week of fasting, and I was alone in the room, and the room filled up with smoke. And a bright light came into the room and spoke to me. It didn't happen like that. I was sweating on the treadmill next to my buddy Anthony. And we were talking about how do we honor God and communicate the mission of the church. And God just put a picture in my mind of a funnel. So I want to introduce you to the ICF funnel. Let me explain this to you if I could. So the top of our funnel, obviously, it is the broadest sense. It is where most of us gather. This is the widest part of the funnel, and this is what we would call our Sunday morning experience. It is here that we gather together. I love the Sunday morning experience. It is a powerful time of the week. It's where we come and we get our batteries charged. We are challenged by the word of God. Where the Holy Spirit oftentimes will speak to us, right? How many times you walk out here saying, "Was he speaking to me?" That's the Holy Spirit, how he's able to minister and customize each service to just you, which is an incredible way in which God does that. But our Sunday morning experience is, it's very broad, it's very wide, and it's open to everybody and anybody, and it's in this place where we come together, and we're a much larger group. And it's an exciting time. It's a time of celebration. It's a time of proclamation. It's a time where we're able to meet people for the first time. It's a time where we're able to invite people into the church for the first time. And it's a really great thing, but it's somewhat limiting. Because really, you can only go so deep in a group this size. And so what the goal is now to start to move into the funnel a little bit closer. And so we move from the Sunday morning experience, and then we get to our next step, which is our Transformers ministry and our Mosaic ministry and the resistance and Bible study. And as we're getting into the middle of the funnel, it allows usually less people that are involved. But with less people comes more intimacy. It creates more of an opportunity for us to speak specifically to our men about being godly men. It's a place during our Mosaic meetings where we talk about being a godly wife, a godly woman, and our Bible studies are much more more interactive, and we're able to kind of address different things in a much more intimate level. And it's a great thing. Doesn't make the other thing not important. Just allows us to get a little bit more intense in our discipleship. And as we continue to move forward down, we get a little bit more intentional with our cohesion groups. Now we're moving out of the church and into each other's homes. And you know, when you get into somebody's home, you get into their life, and you get to know them a little bit more, and you start to hear about what really burdens their hearts. And you get to an idea of what to specifically pray for in that person's life. It's an opportunity for us to bear one another's burdens and stand in the gap with each other and cry with one another and bring meals to each other and meet the needs of one another and go to visit each other in the hospital when those times arise. And there's a much more family-oriented mindset that takes place in cohesion that's impossible to have in a group of a few hundred people. And so cohesion allows us to take a small church, a big church, and make it small, and allows us in the confines of our own homes to get into each other's lives and encourage one another. And then from that, it grows into a more intimate place where there's mentoring and discipleship taking place. It's in those places that, man, me and Vinny get together, we go out for breakfast, and we start talking, man, so here's what I'm really struggling with. Can you pray for me? And what specifically should I do in this area? How do I work out this area in my life? How do I respond to my wife? How do I respond to my husband? How do I respond to my job? It's a much more intentional place of discipleship. It's here where we're literally pouring into each other's lives. And when this is done correctly, what this ought to produce in us, you see, what this creates in us is the heart of Jesus. If this is done correctly, we are equipping the church to be the church. And the ultimate goal of the church is to be conformed into his image. And as we are growing in Christ's likeness, listen, the things that we're passionate, that Christ is passionate about, will become passionate about. And what is Christ passionate about? Lost people. Jesus is passionate about lost people. And so when this is done correctly, what this ought to set us in motion to do is our next step, where we start now going on mission. Now it's here that we're being equipped. And what this ought to do is now cause us to pour ourselves out in mission, going into all the world and preaching the gospel, making disciples of others. It's here that we're equipped. It's here that we're ready. It's here that we're encouraged. And it's here in mission that we live. And so our next slide, Pastor Tom. If we don't do that, if we just stay here and we just go on mission, or we don't go on mission, we just stay in this little incubator of knowledge, we will not go and don't go on mission, this becomes nothing more than just a monastery. A monastery where we all believe the right stuff and hold on to one another and sing kumbaya and us four and no more. And we stay a very small cult-like church that has no vision outside its own four walls. And it becomes extremely ineffective. And some of the most, we might have our doctrine right, we might have our attitudes right, we might have the best, you know, the best potluck dinners around. But if we are not going from here out to mission, we are stifling what God's called us to do, and we're moving into a monastery, and monasteries are extremely ineffective. We are called to be equipped, not just for personal appeasement, but we are to be equipped to go out on mission. And so, our next slide, Pastor Tom. What is all this? This is our reaching in. I'm sorry. Here we go. As we're reaching out. Thank you. As we're reaching out, what are we doing? We're gathering people in. We're bringing them in. We're being poured into, and now we're pouring out on mission. And as we're doing that, we're grabbing people who don't know Jesus. We're reaching out to them and with the love of Christ, and we're saying, "Hey, man, come on out and listen to the truth. Come on out. Let me tell you about Jesus." And what are we doing? We're bringing them into the church. Now, what do you say? Oh, wait a minute, Pastor. I thought we're supposed to bring them into the kingdom of God. I get that. But the church is what God has set up for us to be the pillar of truth, the scripture says. And so it is here that we pull them out, we bring them in, and it's here that they're discipled. It's here that they find their sense of purpose in Jesus Christ. It's here that they're equipped. It's here that they come to understand who they are in Jesus Christ. It's here that their wounds are healed. It's here that their emotions are set free from the bondages that they've been in. And it's in this work that's taking place that as they're growing and as they're doing this, they then start pouring out and they start going on mission as well. And then ultimately, what is going on in this here? This is where we're reaching in. It's here that we're reaching in through intentional discipleship and the study of God's word. You can't just be reaching out without reaching in. You can't give what you don't have. Right, Pastor Larry? Isn't that what you always told me? You can't give what you don't have. And so you it's here that you're learning. It's here that you're growing. It's here that you're pouring yourself into the word. You get so that you can give. And so we're reaching out. And as we're reaching out, ultimately, at the same time, Pastor Tom, next. Ultimately, what are we doing? This is worship. It's here that we're worshiping. As we're reaching out, as we're reaching in, it's all taking place under the umbrella of worship. We're reaching up in dynamic and passionate worship to God. And so which one are we supposed to be doing at what time? These things ought to be in a healthy environment. Every one of these things need to be happening at the same time. We should always be reaching in. We should always be reaching out. We should always be seeing ourselves on mission. That is our display. That is our act of worship. And so as we go into 2014, this is our mission. This is our statement. We're not changing one thing from what we're doing. We're going to be more strategic. We're going to be more intentional. We're going to be more equipping. But we're looking to be a church that is reaching up, reaching out, and reaching in. And we want to do that because we want to fulfill what Christ has called us to do. And if we can be part of the process of seeing less people go to hell, how many want to be a part of that? I mean, is there anything more important than investing in the spiritual life of someone who is lost? And so as we go into 2014, it's more of the same. With more strategic, more tenacity, more prayer and more fasting and more dependence on God to see God do what this guy and nobody else is able to do on our own. I want to see God do the extraordinary. I want to see your unsaved loved ones come to Christ. I want to see my unsaved loved ones come to Christ. I want to see my neighbors come to Christ, don't you? I want to see God do some things that we could look back in 2014 and say, wow, look what God did. If we want something we've never had before, we've got to do something we've never done before. And so let's continue. Let's humble ourselves. Let's pray. Let's fast. Let's seek God together. Let's empty ourselves of ourselves so that we might be filled with the fullness of God. And let's see God do some extraordinary things to the glory of God. You can turn the lights on. Thank you. As our ushers prepare for communion this morning, I can't think of a better time to come to the table than right now. As we go into 2014 and we consider what is before us, kind of like Moses, where he said, Lord, if you don't go, I'm not going. I don't want to go. You know, I'll only go if you go with me. I don't want to go forward without him. And so let's just prepare our hearts as our ushers serve us, and then we'll partake together. Okay. Paul writes to the church at Corinth. It's a church that he had founded. The church was going through some all kinds of issues. Sin was rampant in the church. They were believing all kinds of things. And Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians in the first book, the 11th chapter, he highlights what's most important for them to get a hold of. He's about to rebuke them for their demonstration of the gifts and how they would parade their spirituality through it. All these things that would soon become nothing more than just arguments that would divide and distract the church. It's in the midst of that that Paul, right in the middle, stops it and says, "For I received from the Lord and that which I've also delivered to you." Then on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And, you know, he highlights the essence of the Christian faith. And you know, in the church, we can debate and divide over so many unnecessary issues. But I thank God that we've been called to regularly come to the table. Because as we come to the table, we're reminded of what really matters most. It was his body that was broken. It was his blood that was shed. It was my need of a savior and my dependence on solely on his sacrifice by which I can stand. And so on that night, the same night in which he was betrayed, Jesus is with his disciples, his friends. He takes bread and he breaks it. And he said, "This is my body." And it's broken for you. It's not just broken. It's broken for you. And he said, "I want you to take this and eat of this every time you do. I want you to remember me and what he has done for us." And so as we partake together, let's remember the awesome sacrifice that he has taken for us. Thank you, Lord. And in the same manner, he took the cup. And he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Without the shedding of blood, the scripture says there's no forgiveness of sins." This blood reminds us the fact that we have been bought with a price. It was no ordinary blood. It was not the blood of bulls and goats, but the precious blood of the Savior that enabled us to have fellowship with him. It is not by our good works. It is not by anything we can do in and of ourselves. It is only by his blood. It was his blood that was presented before the Father. And it was the equity of his blood that paid the price for my sins and yours. And Jesus said, "Take and drink in remembrance of what I've done for you. Let's drink together. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the awesome price that has been paid for us so that we might be children of God. We who were not a people are now the people of God. And God, we're so thankful for that. We're humbled by that, God. God, may we make you proud in all we do and say, may our lives be a reflection of the Son. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Before our worship team concludes us, I just want to mention one other thing. It's good to have you in church today, Vinny. I'm not going to embarrass you. But about a year ago, may I share? About a year ago, Vinny was living in this room on the other side of here, this electrical room, struggling with some stuff. But God has had and continues to have a plan and purpose for his life. And this last year, Vinny got a hold of God. This past year, God got a hold of Vinny. And he's been faithfully serving the Lord and honoring the Lord upstate New York. And in 2 weeks, he's heading off to Bible college. Can we pray for him? Can we pray? Let's just extend a hand forward. Father, I thank you, God, that you know how to go after the lost sheep. And Lord, I thank you for Vinny's life. I thank you, Father, for how you have demonstrated your faithfulness and your goodness to him, God. And Father, I pray that as he continues to move forward and in your call for his life, I pray, God, that you would, God, just remove every obstacle that might come its way. Lord, I pray that as he seeks you, that God, he'd find you, Lord, as he searches and seeks after you with all of his heart. I pray that God, as he goes off to Bible school, God, I pray you'd fill his heart and mind with the truth of the gospel, that Lord, he would take it and reach those who are in bondage, God. And that, Lord, you would be glorified, continue to be glorified in his life. God, we're so proud of what you have done in his life. And God, we're so thankful and so proud of what he has done as well. And so, Father, we just pray for him as he heads off this next week to Bible college. And we just pray that, God, you'd meet every need. That, Lord, you'd continue to be glorified in his life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, man. It's a good day. Let's stand together as we go to our closing song.